وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. As always for your duas, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his rahmah on you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qala rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, we were discussing the story of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, how he was deceived by Shaitan and the consequences of that deception. So Shaitan deceived Hazrat Adam alayhi salam in such a way that he caused him to fall. And when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, Amma Hawa, tasted from the tree, we discussed the clothes fell off them immediately and the private parts became exposed to each other. So they began pasting the leaves of paradise on their bodies. Now while this was carrying on, Allah Ta'ala called out to them. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, "Did I not prohibit you from approaching this tree? Did I not tell you that Shaitan is your clear enemy?" So the Quran Majid speaks so well of this, where their response was, قَالَا رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. They both said, "O our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. If you do not forgive us and have mercy on us, we will certainly be among the losers." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Get down. You shall be enemies of each other." In other words, Shaitan and Hazrat Adam alayhi salam with his wife Amma Hawa. "For you there is on the earth an abode and a benefit for a while." He said, "Therein shall you live and therein shall you die, and therefrom shall you be brought forth." So since now they got visible knowledge of the error, they said, "You know, oh Allah, we wronged ourselves by and we got deceived into disobeying you, and pardon us and forgive us." Now, they displayed their humility as opposed to Shaitan. When he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he put his own judgment and his qiyas, you know, and his opinion in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that fire is superior. So that was the difference between Adam alayhi salam and Shaitan. Now, we have learned from the story of Adam alayhi salam how Shaitan succeeded in deceiving man as he had promised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Adam alayhi salam had to bear the brunt of this deception. So it is our duty to take a lesson from such stories and to not act on the promptings of Shaitan. Inna Shaitan lakum aduwwum mubin. Shaitan is your open enemy. So when Shaitan was expelled, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, "Fakhruj fa innaka rajim," "Get out because you are accursed." So then Shaitan responded and he said, "Qala fa bima aghwaytani la aq'udanna lahum siratakal mustaqim thumma la'atiyannahum min bayni aydihim wa min khalfihim wa min aymanihim wa min shama'ilihim wa la tajidu aktharuhum shakirin." Shaitan, the accursed and the disgraced one, he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you can imagine that he was also an arif, one who recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angered with him. At that particular time, he's still making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his dua. What dua he makes? He says, grant me respite until the day when everyone is brought back to life. So Allah Ta'ala said, you are granted this respite. So Shaitan said, O Lord, because you led me astray, I will certainly lie in wait, in ambush, to mislead the progeny of Adam alayhi salam from the straight path. I will approach them from the front. I will approach them from the back, from the right, from the left. In short, he mentioned all the directions. To the extent you will find the vast majority of them ungrateful to you. لا تجدوا أكثرهم شاكرين. Right? So whoever from mankind follows you shall be with you, and I will fill hell with all you deviated people. Now, Shaitan made this supplication, and he spoke about the directions. He said, from the front I will attack them, from the back, from the right, and shama'ilihim from the left. But he forgot to mention two directions. One was the direction above, and one was the direction below. The direction above, that is when a person raises his hands in supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what a life we led, we raise our hands and we cry out in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That direction is open to us. And the other direction is when we go down into sajda and we prostrate in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closest that a human being can be to Allah is when he is in the state of prostration. And now he makes he sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. He glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These two directions were omitted by the shaitan. And in view of that, we must take great advantage of these two directions. So shaitan began his efforts in trying to mislead Adam alayhi salam. Shaitan wanted to divest him of the clothes which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him in paradise. And he whispered into his heart, and he led him astray. Now, this is indeed a very, very great lesson for us, that Shaitan never left our father in paradise and our mother. He's never ever going to leave us. And he requested this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taking admonition and advice from Shaitan's story, the admonition and lesson which the pious elders of the Ummah learned from the story is conveyed with much pain and sorrow by the author of Ruhul Ma'ani, Allama Alusi Rahmatullah Alayh. And Hazrat Mawlana Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayh, he mentions this in his kitab I'raful Dhunub. So outwardly it seems that Shaitan's unbelief was prompted by his ignorance. Whatever knowledge Allah Ta'ala bestowed him with and with which he covered himself when he was living among the angels was taken away from him. When the nails of destiny are caused to fall, they injure a person. And when the quiver of fate starts shooting arrows, it renders a person deaf. It is as though Shaitan was saying by his actions, the lamp of connection was glowing between us when suddenly the winds of separation blew and the lamp was extinguished. So according to one opinion, his obstinacy was the cause of his unbelief. The fame and honor which he enjoyed prompted him to become ostentatious and egoistic. He did not realize even this much, that had he carried out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order, his value would have increased even more and his lofty position would have become even more lofty amongst the highest angels. But the fact is that if Allah ta'ala's help is not with the person, his self-opinions are the first things which cause him harm. Now, we do not know how many eyes the story caused to lose sleep, and how many fountains of tears it caused to flow, because Shaitan was deluded by his obedience for some time, and he was boasting in the sheet of his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then you know fully well what happened to him after that. Whatever fate had recorded for him was now realized. As a Muslim Ummah further he says that the above story of Shaitan is no ordinary story. It is the first story which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates in the Quran. There's so much guidance in it, and many servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were guided by it. We are generally told that Adam alayhi salam was appointed as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's vicegerent because of his extra knowledge. But I think Hazrat says that because Adam alayhi salam possessed more servitude in his creation than the angels, he was blessed with vicegerency. The bestowal of vicegerency and the angels' discussion in this regard had taken place from before. When this discussion or debate ended, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displayed the merit of Adam alayhi salam. He bestowed him with knowledge and established an external proof in this way. In other words, when he was given vicegerency, the angels looked at his external makeup and gauged that he and his progeny will shed blood and cause corruption on the earth. And so they asked an improper question in this regard. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied by merely saying, I know, inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know what you do not know. And the angels too regretted their improper question. Now the succeeding incident showed how Adam alayhi salam displayed absolute humility, humbleness, and servitude on every occasion. He did not express anything except absolute servitude. Whereas he could also have also adopted the stand of asking for proofs, evidences, questions, and he could have also say, put forward his argument and said, oh, Shaitan led me astray, and this is what happened, and that's what happened, and get into an argument or anything like that. He just said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana, O Allah, we wronged ourselves. So the noblest quality in a human being is the quality of servitude. You know, one is ibadat and one is ubudiyat. Ibadat means to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this ibadah. You know, it's a ni'mah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see our ubudiyah, you know, our servitude to Him. That is very, very important. So this is something that we learn from this lesson of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And servitude itself was a distinctive attribute of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The greatest of all titles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the title of Abd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, slave. And the Arifin consider the rank of Abdiyat, servitude, to be the greatest. The respected ulama of Islam, they say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was blessed with Mi'raj by virtue of his humility. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Glory be to Allah who took his servant by night. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was blessed with intercession by virtue of his humility. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this so much. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam displayed the servitude to the Ummah. The Sufis, who are the true inheritors of the Prophets alayhi salam, with regard to their internal spiritual conditions and ranks, they define humility and servitude as follows. They say, disobedience, which creates humility and servitude in a person, right? It makes a person more humble and everything, is better than obedience, which is a cause of pride and haughtiness. I mean, this doesn't mean that we must disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but perchance, if a person falls into disobedience, he mustn't become haughty. He must cry, shed tears, show his humility, his humbleness, beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this so much. Then a person is obedient and the person is haughty and pride because of his because of his haughtiness. So this is something that we must remember. So from this story we learn great lessons of humility and how we must be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never ever befriend the shaitan, because the shaitan is our open enemy, and we must try and get the wilayat, the closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can prosper in this world and in the akhirah. آمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.